Welcome to the Presentation Podcast, Season 6, Episode 146. Let's start another Design Studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts.
Well, everybody, and I want to say hi to Lori. It is a beautiful Sunday morning and daylight savings is here. And that means summer evening sun is officially here. So that always makes me more excited. Hey, Lori, let's talk about two recent PowerPoint projects. You pick one and I pick one because this is the presentation podcast. And well, we should talk presentation stuff, and a full feature, full function template is the basis for many presentations. Of course, just so you know, I'm inviting a couple hundred of our friends to listen in. And for everyone that is joining us, this is a designer conversation. Two presentation designers just talking about recent projects. We're not really doing a how-to tutorial. It's just fun design talk. So with that, let's get started.
Well, hey, good morning. It is quite gorgeous out. Apologies to anybody who is in the snow right now or cold weather. But I love this idea of talking about a project, in this case, a template project. So what's the project brief? What template project are you going to talk about?
For me, I'm going to talk about a really fun one we just wrapped up. It's for an animated movie property. And I cannot talk about company or name because it is a pitch presentation. It's all under NDA, but it's super high visual styling in the template world to carry a theme across. And I'm really excited about it as a template project. What do you have?
So you're going to pantomime the whole thing? This is going to be very interesting.
I'm going to occasionally have to bleep out words if I say something I can't be disclosed.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about an automotive brand. Recently, we recreated a visual template for the executive teams to use for 2022. Very visual, something that stands apart from their standard corporate template.
Well, let's just confirm. Are we 16 by 9, 4 by 3, or like a custom aspect ratio?
I'm 16 by 9. What was yours?
This one is a standard 16 by 9. It's a pitch presentation, so it's just being thrown onto a standard screen.
Okay, I got to know though. When's the last time we've done a 4 by 3?
4 by 3 template?
Yeah.
Well, hold on. You should answer first because my answer might surprise you.
Oh, well, I haven't done a 4 by 3 template at all recently that I can think of.
We just finished two 4 by 3s last week, but they weren't your projects. But they are medical. Pharma? No, they're total medical. Take it back. No pharma. They're medical. We actually designed the 16 by 9 template, and part of the package is they want a 4 by 3 so that when conferences say 4 by 3, they have something to work with. So we did them, but I don't know if they get used. They're just part of our standard package for this particular company. But two of them.
Okay, that was approved. Medical.
Yeah.
The last one I did, which was I think a year ago, was in the financial industry. So how interesting that it seems like that medical and financial industry are still holding on to the 4x3.
We just did a financial conference on our virtual platform. All the presentations were 4x3. So, we have black bars, and we just wrapped up. I just got back from being on show site, and sure enough, the doctor showed up with 4x3. So yeah, that's the only industries that are still using that. Hey, on our templates, because this is a really cool thing for me to talk about on this particular template, did you have assets you had to integrate, things that were supplied or, notations?
Yeah. I mean, everything we were doing was a branded template. So, of course, the logo and pretty much brand photography. And so, we were lucky in that we had quite a resource that we had access to. So, but it's pretty much that. It's either a brand approved photo or it's a logo. How about you?
Did you have a style guide you had to work within?
Yep. Had a style guide.
If specific to this or was it just the corporate style guide?
So what it was is we were actually shown the corporate template and the executives don't want to use the corporate template because it's too corporate. They wanted us to create something more visual, but along the same lines as a corporate template, which was very streamlined, very clean, very very, I guess that very clean, blocky look. So hence the visuals came in. And so we took that with the brand style guide. So we didn't, you know, stray and had to come up with something that was even more visual.
Okay. So I had none of that, literally none of that to go with. And that's why I kind of chose this template to talk about, because it's just so unique. We were provided the movie brief. So I had an idea of the atmosphere of the movie, I guess you'd say, what it's about. And we received one conceptual art piece of what the characters may look like and what a scene or an environment may look like. This is all very much here it is. So we had nothing to go on except for one piece of art and a couple of paragraph description. And that's what made it fun, because as a designer, you get to go, huh, what do I do?
So was your art, was it at least an illustrator so you could kind of pick it apart and manipulate it?
Negative. It was a great rendered, like painting style is all digital, but you know, it was literally somebody made art that conceptualized what they envisioned the lead character as, and they envisioned a key scene from the movie, I'm assuming. It was very, very little to go on, but it was enough for us to look at and, you know, kind of extrude all these ideas and go with it. And it was very exciting. I'll talk more about it in a little bit, I think.
Okay. And you had, I'm sure that because this is a pitch presentation, you had at least a very, very high level story synopsis, right?
Yeah.
So you had a few. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Got we kind of knew a couple of the key characters. We knew a couple of the key where things would take place, locations, I guess you'd say. We also had some background to kind of play with, and we had one piece of art.
Okay. Okay. So you have to create a template, right? What kind of layouts, what kind of customization did you need to do for this?
Oh, so on the slide master and master slide layouts, all the standard Microsoft layouts, we keep them all in there because we're going to be importing slides from all other, you know, this is financial analysts and marketing teams and conceptual people. You know, they're assumably going to have a title and content layout in their stuff. So we want to port over very easily. So we're going to do all the standard Microsoft layouts. We also had, I also kept things on one master slide, and I do want to call that out right now because it'll become important a little bit. And then we added in what I'll call some specialty background layouts. In other words, they didn't quite align with the master slide, but we wanted them for specialty use. And then we also had a theme layout, which was also very funny because we don't even have the logo for this movie or anything. So we made our own version of it.
So you were really creating a very streamlined template, basic layouts, and a few more. And that kind of makes sense because this is a pitch presentation. How many slides was it going to be, do you think?
Ooh, the final pitch? You know what? Tell me about yours. I got a feeling you went beyond it. And I'm going to open up the actual presentation.
I think we have very different projects. So for me, it's a bit of a story. How much time do we have? But obviously the standard Microsoft layouts, but then we plussed that up. We had 3 to 4 additional title slides, additional section dividers, additional content slides, all with different backgrounds. Sometimes it was a solid background. Sometimes it was a slight texture, and sometimes there was a photo in the background. Basically, the goal was to give the users lots of pre-designed layout options all on brand. And this included about a dozen additional layouts combining large photography areas with text. So beyond just that typical, you know, PowerPoint layout that you see. But where it gets funny, and all of that at the end of the day came to, I don't know, about 80 slides, but after about 12 hours, after we got approvals and we had sent the template, they came back and they asked for and realized that they forgot that they needed this template and these layouts to also apply to their luxury brand and their hybrid focus as well. So we went from about 50 master layouts in total to about 80, 90 layouts because we had to add in additional versions, if you will, with the luxury brand and the hybrid brand. Of course, the newer versions, we streamlined those down. They didn't get as many options.
So to confirm, those are master layouts, not number of slides.
Correct. Layout naming was key. and it was very clear. So when you would do the drop down to choose a layout, you would see the brand first. And it was, we think we made it very clear, so it was easy for the user to navigate.
Was there any other, like outside the naming, did you do anything to help the end users know what sections? I mean, you almost want sections in a master slide at this point, which doesn't exist, Microsoft. Yeah. Neither does collapsing the thumbnail list of master slide.
In this case, we did not. I would have loved to do that, but the person that we were directly using with working with, they didn't get it. They felt that that was confusing having a non-usable layout just for, they didn't understand why. And so they just wanted to see layouts in the list. So
working to appease the client. So I may have misunderstood your earlier question. So the total pitch presentation was around 50 slides, very concise presentation. Now, that being said, we designed well over 150 slides, I would say, that they consolidated or decided on which 50 to use for the pitch. But if you're asking about now, I think I know what you're asking about is what number of master layouts were created. It ended up being 1, 2, 3, 4. Wait, hold on. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 across times 3. So that's 15, 16 total layouts are in the template. Is that what you're asking about?
Yeah, I was. I was. And that kind of makes sense. And you're doing a pitch presentation, a one-time use, right? And we were designing a template to be used throughout the entire year. So your 50 slides for the template we were working on, I would say thousands of slides will be created on this over the course of the year. So hence, perhaps more layouts, more options.
Well, we always ask our clients, where is this template going to be used? And obviously, we have very different uses for it. Did you have any end user information or training of how to use the template?
Ah, good question. We did not do any formal training, like hop on a call and show people how to use it. But we did infuse some information, if you will, some end user information. So we leveraged the master placeholders to add prompts. So an example, and I'm sure this is not new news, title goes here, all caps, 44-point font, or, on a visual layout, car hero image. So the people understand this placeholder is meant for a hero car image. Another placeholder might have bold statement, few words, again, leading the user to understand what that placeholder is intended for. Now, whether they follow that, who knows? The other thing we did do is we did add a custom font slide to alert users to verify that the brand font is displaying properly. Not a problem for people that work at this company because that font is installed on all their corporate computers. However, these presentations get delivered to outside people. And so it's that end user or that non-company user. We want to make sure that they do have the proper font installed. Otherwise, things will not look right.
Font management is a struggle. So on that, I'll tell you what I did or what evolved out of this pitch template. And then I have another follow-up question for you on yours. So the idea of end user information or training, definitely not on this template. It was very streamlined, as you're saying. The template was basically a Microsoft template. Title here, content here, picture placeholders, theme graphic, specialty background, which was for large imagery because a lot of it's imagery content. But for this particular presentation was as with most pitches, it's a tight turnaround. So this file was added to Microsoft Teams the corporate Microsoft Teams with very strict access to who could access that. So I felt pretty cool that we as an outside vendor had access to this file. And everyone involved on the pitch was literally continuously opening and adding or modifying the content pretty much at all hours because it was an international group also working on this. So it was literally all hours. After the template design process, which was the only time we actually owned the files, I first moved all of the existing slides from their current template styles. I mean, they were all different. You know, finance people had one thing, marketing team A had one look, key executive decided to go with Microsoft's white one because they didn't know what was going to be used. So we took ownership of all those, which was difficult to actually say, pencils down, we're checking it out. You cannot own these files for the next 2 hours while we quickly do this update. Went through all that. And then after that process was done, I put the file onto this Microsoft Teams environment. So it was a collaboration file. And the reason we didn't have to worry about much information or training was because 2 to 3 times at least a day, I was just jumping in, opening it up, you know, so say open an app. So everybody's doing it. And I was making styling and layout updates. This way, everybody could see their content constantly evolving into kind of a consistent pitch and going, oh, that looks really great. Every now and then I get notes back like, hey, I need to have more words here. What can I do? Or I'm going to add a picture. What can you do to, you know, preset it? But it was a very collaborative process where ownership wasn't actually handed off until the day of the meeting. I said, guys, you need to, everybody get out. I literally need to check this file out, download it, run an optimizer on it, consolidate the fonts. It was horrible. The font, the SlideWise, their font replace
is the
mechanism.
Best.
It's tedious because it has to close the file each time, but it works so great. This file, I mean, it's only 50 slides. I said, of course, there was about 120-ish slides total. I think we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 plus fonts that I wanted to consolidate down because they were coming, you know, again, like an analyst, Excel element would come in using some other random font. So I had to consolidate those all down, and you can only do that when you own it. So I did own it for about 25 minutes before the morning of the meeting. And then I gave it all back to him. It also went from, I don't know, 300 and some megabytes down to like 40 megs because there was just all these very large TIFF images for print quality and other things. So we didn't plan on an actual training because this is very much a rapid iteration and evolution of the project. I had a question for you.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm struggling to remember what that was.
Oh, well, I have one for you.
Okay.
So all the collaboration makes me so happy inside. I just love that aspect of Teams. So two things. One, you created the template. Template is approved. You put all the content on the template and then you loaded it onto Teams for the group. At that point in time, did you have additional requests or did you find yourself going in and tweaking the template as you started working on the content? Okay.
Were you watching over our shoulders?
No, I'm just asking because I'm just curious because this is such an organic growth kind of thing. I could see, my case, once a template was approved, you can't touch it. It's distributed.
Oh, I see where you're going. Yeah, no, this one definitely evolved up until that morning of. And one of the examples was we had this beautiful dark background. I can't describe the scene because it might give things away. But we had this beautiful dark background. For the most part, this template was a white background so everybody could just drop their pictures and images on it. We had this beautiful bar and I just planned on it being a full frame background. Well, I quickly realized about hours after it had been released that I needed to make that a title only version as well, because they were still adding titles. I envisioned just pictures going on, nice imagery, conceptual stuff. Well, they wanted to title what the concept was or what it was. So there was a randomness of text boxes all over. So I quickly added another master layout, which was that background with the title box from the main title and content added to it. So yeah, it definitely evolved. I would say out of those six, I told you there were 16 and that gets a little rough because we removed some as well during the process. But anyways, yes, it did evolve. And I'm assuming yours came back from the client saying, hey, we need to do these changes. So it evolved.
So I'm going somewhere with that. So yeah, we designed the template with the core automotive logo. It was approved by the executives, our main contacts sent. And then within 12 hours, someone's like, but what about our luxury brand? And at which point they went, oh. And so, of course, the template came back. We updated it. And then we put a rev number, on the template file and in the master layout, trying to be clear for users. I hate having to send a template second time. But that's what happens. But here's where I'm going with all of that. It's so often lately, I have with like a sworn in blood document, like do not distribute this. I will send a test template. I'll say, here's the template. we think it's ready to go. Can you take it for a test drive? I want you to invite three key people and I want you guys to work with it for a couple days. And that has actually worked very well. In your case, when you said things were kind of evolving, I have found that there are things that we haven't anticipated that the end users then say, but what about this? So getting a little off track, but I just thought that was interesting that you had that experience too.
So many times. I mean, I can almost guarantee, knowing who the end client is at this, that the first iteration of that template is going to show up back in our inbox like 4 months later. Like, where did you find? Oh, it was in my email. So I pulled up, you know, it's just once it's out in the wild, it is always somebody's going to find it and use it is what I, you know, what we find.
Okay. Well, let's move on. Okay. Let's talk about limitations. So when you were setting up your template and doing all this beautiful design work, what limitations did you run up against? Did you have to overcome?
Like PowerPoint limitations?
Yeah. Yeah.
My standard line whenever we're dealing with template design, because companies have a lot of great ideas. And I say, listen, we're working within the constraints of the program known as PowerPoint. So here's the way we're going to work around it in this case. Here's the way we're going to work around it in this case. And no, we can't just make that happen. You have to have some trade-offs to make it happen. So I did not want this particular template to have multiple masters. I wanted one master slide and then everything is a master layout below it. That creates a problem, because background style is applied to the master slide. And that's the, you know, choosing dark background or white background. And, you know, it alternates which light dark is used. So a dark background uses white text, and more importantly, charts and graphs take on white axis call outs and lines and everything else. And a light background will automatically use a dark text. And accents. Well, the dilemma is the master slide on this one is a white background. The custom or specialty backgrounds, as I call them, they're all dark, so they need white text. Well, suddenly the limitation of PowerPoint not being able to recognize that unless I set up multiple masters, which would be a solution, but it would also create more confusion in the use of this. So that limitation there of, hey, how do you... You know, because we ended up with charts on these specialty backgrounds. Well, you have to go in and manually set, you insert a chart. It's going to pick up, it's going to use black, or in this case, it was a super dark blue for all of the axis lines and all the labeling. Had to go in and manually change it all. Just kind of a tedious, thing that unfortunately.
I mean, you can define the text, the placeholder text, to be correct, but it's when the users go beyond that and they insert the charts and other situations pop up.
Also, the need to lock the file, as I was talking about, download and run optimization software, because, you know, NX PowerLite and SlideWise are not server-based file usable yet. You know, they have to be locally based. So huge limitation. And with so many people in so many time zones accessing this file, it was very difficult to get a checkout time, because I didn't want to download it. Because while I'm downloading and working on it, other changes would have happened. So that coordination time was really, really hard. And you can't kick people out. When you're in Microsoft Teams, it'd be great if you could just say, I own the deck. Let me just kick this person out so I can own it, because you can't check it out when somebody else. And that person that left their computer on and, you know,
went to bed.
Yeah, they're gone, but they still are a part of the active collaboration. So therefore you get some limitations. What about you?
I in the template I'm talking about, I had the exact same dark light issues. The template was designed to be a dark background because the executives in general want this to be very visual, very ballroom-esque, if you will. But there were a couple of users, one particular executive that insists on a white background. So really the same issue with, you know, just trying to alert them to what their struggles might be. So, yeah.
Well, along that, I think we're going to have different takes on this. Who used the template? Like, who was the end user audience?
Ooh, interesting. I think mine's going to be a huge mix. I had a mix of what I would call non-presentation and presentation people. So we had, of course, the executives, the C-suite. We had their executive assistants, and they do have some presentation designers in that mix. But as the year goes on, this template will trickle down and start showing up in other manager presentations. So really, it runs the gamut. from experience to non-experience, financial to, you know, Marcom. I think almost everybody uses this template. How about you?
This template was definitely a non-presentation,
You were the presentation designer.
Yeah, it's used by marketing that does present, but not like a stage presentation. It was used by analysts. It was used by, well, actually, I guess the team that presented it wasn't a traditional presentation team. It was a pitch to get business and secure things. So in our case, it was very much the people that are often adding content to the slides, but not really using the slides for a presentation.
Yep. Okay, what was the lifespan of your template? I think ours are very different.
Yeah, you already hinted at yours. This template, I mean, so this entire project, very, very high level, wonderful project, it had a lifespan of 2 weeks. Oh. No, absolutely serious. The presentation. So here's the deal. This template was built on, like I told you, one rendering and a couple of paragraph conceptual information that was available. By the way, none of it's publicly available. I had to sign several NDAs to even get to that information. So this, the movie itself is going to evolve and it's going to continue on. But what we created was a benchmark in time that is going to have nothing to do with the actual presentation. And we've had this happen over the years where, you know, we work on it and then we come back. And I mean, it's kind of a nice business life cycle because then they have to bring us back and they ask us to help evolve it and make a whole new variation for the next, you know, because now they have real assets for the movie, or, you know, they actually have a working title, or that's a good example. A lot of times we get a working title and then the movie property changes title. So, hey, everything has to change. So in this case, it kind of becomes more of a public facing look eventually, and our template will need to use those assets and color schemes and even fonts and everything else. So this was a one-time use, will not evolve. It'll just be totally changed out, 2 week life span for the entire project, I would say.
Yeah. And like you said, the one I'm working on is typically a year. So it gets introduced in January. They have big meetings end of January, February, and then from there it evolves for the rest of the year. So we will start working on the 2023 template probably sometime in October, November. So in about 7 months.
Oh, I remember my question. So we were talking about how do you inform and train your end users, or how help them to know what the features of the template are. I think I know the answer to this, but in your case, they get to see you literally, because you said this is an ongoing project. You're going to take all of their existing slides and port them over and restylize them. So there's already a user selection of slides that they can see and learn from and modify from there as well.
Correct. Correct. So often when we are designing new templates, we will offer, you know, do you want to give us a selection of whatever your common slides, most used slides are? And we will, you know, format them to the new template for you. And that's exactly what we did here. So they're already a leg up. They've got the new template. They don't have to deal with applying, you know, all reformatting all their old slides. They can just take it and go from there. So, yeah. So I have a question for you. Okay. What is a template feature or preset, I suppose, that you think presenters underutilize?
Okay, the first one I'm going to say, the underutilized is color schemes. Everybody uses the color picker because that's become a very known thing. And suddenly it's not a master template color anymore because you use the color picker and it becomes the same looking blue, but then you move it. Oh, in your case, it would be horrible because you're going to move the content to next year's template and all those things won't auto update. Yeah. But the feature I find overutilized to the detriment of the presentation file is keep source formatting.
Oh, yes.
Because it is a great feature and a horrible feature all at the same time. Because as I said, my template, I mean, everybody was bringing in all their stuff. Now, luckily, I got to import most of them. But every time I go in, there would be a new Frankenstein version of it, or people would just say keep source formatting. You know, you just continuously build up master layouts and master slides by doing that. And it makes people's job easier. But man, it makes the file harder to manage. So I think it's a great feature that is overutilized or to the detriment of the file that's utilized.
I agree. And that is because, you know, when you bring slides in, it only recognizes a single template. you know, wouldn't it be great if it could recognize, oh, there are three templates used in these slides I'm copying in. And look, I see the three templates there. Yeah. Oh, that happens all the time. So I was talking about underutilization because, and I think this is kind of funny to say, I think people underutilize master placeholders. And I'm sure, again, this is probably not new. I just spent weeks setting up, the team and I spent weeks setting up aligning, programming, and perfecting all these master placeholders. So, you know, text isn't going to jump from slide to slide. The fonts are consistent. You know, you don't have a presentation that has 12 different sized fonts throughout. And then, of course, when I get slides back and I look at what they do with it, you know, they create their own text boxes. And while they might be positioned similarly, we've now lost the alignment. We've lost that sizing consistency. And now now a non-corporate font sneaks in, which is, well, you were explaining that. So I'm guessing users simply, they don't insert a new master layout. Instead, I think they're in the habit of duplicating another slide and starting from there. I mean, yeah?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, things don't stay on the map. I mean, the master layouts are a starting point and they can only help so far because they can't cover all scenarios. But yeah, there's so many things inserted all the time. And that is
I mean, I do that all the time. I will duplicate another slide and start working from that. But I don't know if this is just out of my best practice brain, but I will always reset the master before I start working because I want to understand what's on the master, what's not, before I start moving on with it. So
that's probably another underutilized. People don't know they can hit reset. Of course, there's just as much frustration when they do hit reset and things move around to where they, from where they started to where the master is, again, because a master layout can't cover everything. Okay. So I've got one last one, I guess, and I'm going to hear your answer first. What is one wish item, one wish list item you have for Microsoft to implement for templates as you think about your automotive 80 plus master layout project?
Okay. This is a bit specific, but this is absolutely something I struggled with because this template was very photography based. Let me set the scene. I have got a full bleed image that I want as my template background on my layout, my master layout. So I go to Format Background and I add the photo with that little click box, you know, picture or text fill button. And so now my master layout has this beautiful car bleeding edge to edge in the background. Perfect. However, even though PowerPoint was gracious to center this image for me, the tip of the headlight is getting cut off, you know, when you look at it on the left side. And so it's adding some unnecessary tension. And also you don't want to cut off a part of the car because this is a car company and you just don't do that. So my question is, why can't I just click into the background image and crop and move it like I can with a regularly placed image? All I can do is go to that format pane and try and use those offset percentages, which is way beyond painful. I literally end up having to do all my cropping in Photoshop, which is not a huge big deal, but it's extra steps that I don't want to take. And if the request comes in to nudge that car just a little bit more, I can't just do it in PowerPoint. I have to go back to Photoshop. So again, that would be my wish list.
That is a great idea. So the format background, when the image is not an image, it's literally baked into the background.
Yep. And we do that purposely because we don't want users to go in and accidentally delete or move, you know, the background image, because users are smart. They know what's in the master layouts. And yeah, so we bake them into the background to avoid that.
That would be a really cool idea. Okay. So as part of the Microsoft MVP group, I can definitely say there is a list. And that list is much larger than any one item we're talking of, and especially on PowerPoint template wishes. And many of the items have been listed for 10 plus years. They're just, everybody knows they're there. So whatever listeners are thinking of, if it's a pain point, Microsoft has likely heard of it. Although Lori's idea is one I've never heard of. So there, the list is going to grow. And that's not a fix. That's a, hey, can we improve this? So my one item I'm thinking of for a template to improve would just be the idea of sections in the master view for the left-hand little film strip, because we can't, it's a two-parter. I would love to see all of my master layouts in a grid view, like slide sorter.
Yes.
Or I want the ability to have sections and be able to collapse them. Because right now, moving between them is such a long, and I don't really think Microsoft in their testing gets the opportunity. See, I'm trying to make this positive, of getting a client deck that has 28 master slides with 10 to 60 master layouts, and you having to scroll down that whole list to go find them and identify them. Or if you want to move one, like, okay, this master layout does belong in the master set, but you know, to move it up, it's just a painful process. So my wish would just be collapsible sections or slide sorter view for the layouts.
I love that.
Well, thank you, Lori. I so appreciate you letting me grab your time on a beautiful weekend morning.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to wrap up our episode, and this will go live in a couple of days. I'm going to do a quick wrap up, and then are you okay to come back to a pro and tech tip with us?
I sure am, but I just have to say, I'm very proud of you. I did not hear you slip up once. Although, depending on where this property ends up, I am pretty sure you used one word at least once in this episode, but not tied directly, so no one would ever know. So I'm very good job. No bleeps needed.
While presentation design does not require a template, please reserve the no template approach to the pros who are going to apply consistency rules just through experience and through their understanding of template and understanding of what audience eyes are looking for and understanding the nuances of what makes a PowerPoint template a template. It's not needed to reap the benefits of using a template, but definitely don't let anybody discount the amount of expertise that is needed to create a functional, full-feature, helpful template, because there is a lot of steps and expertise put into those, which I don't think that many people recognize, appreciate, and they definitely don't understand it, so they don't utilize those things. Hey, thank you, Lori, for spending part of your weekend with us. It was a great conversation. Okay, pro and tech tips. It's obviously only the two of us. And mine is a really cool, that's kind of a funny thing. It's a laptop cooling stand that I think is really cool. An angled riser. And the reason I like this particular one, it's flat. It's like an origami piece. It's like, I don't know. It's not really cardboard. It's not really plastic. It's one of those, I don't know, it's some funky material.
Like leather.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, on the one side. So what it is, it's totally flat. And when you fold it over, you can create a little angled riser that's very stable. It's from this company called SenseSage, SenseSage, all one word. It's called the SenseSage Flat Foldable Laptop Stand. I will put a link in it because it's very hard to describe. It's only $10 and is the coolest thing. So we're sending those out with our show computers because a lot of times we end up with these nice tablecloth linen, you know, works surfaces, you know, banquet tables, and they're sometimes velour and they just, you know, overheat computers. So we always want a riser. And these ones are really cool. They're really new. Found them. We've got brown and black ones. The reason we bought brown, because the black ones sold out. I'm sure they're available by now. So I'll put a link.
They don't come in pink, do they?
They do not come in pink like your little cool riser bar. No.
No. Did you notice I swapped my brown one for the black one because the black at least looks cooler?
The brown ones are going in the show computer kits. What do you have? What a pro or tech tip do you, can you?
Okay. I kind of stole this one from you because you're like Mr. Techie. So you were looking at like luggage and stuff. And so I started looking at luggage and I found a pink version of a carry-on luggage with a built-in laptop compartment. And at first I know I gave you a hard time saying, why do you need another piece of luggage? Because you do have a luggage and bag problem. But we don't need to share that here. But this is pretty cool. I have a trip coming up, actually a very cool trip coming up this week, and I only want to do carry-on. I need to bring my laptop with me. It's not a business trip, but I don't want to bring my laptop carrying bag because I need a suitcase. So this is so cool. It is a carry-on hard-sided suitcase, but the very front zips, and if you can imagine like a V, folds out, and I can slip my laptop in there. There's a place for papers, pens, you know, some small pockets. And so now I can literally have my laptop as part of my carry-on bag, and then I have room for another tote bag or something as my second personal item. So, and I'll put the link to the pink one in the bags, but I thought that was really cool. So I'm excited to try it out, but I think this will be, I love organization, and I think this will help me to condense and travel more smartly.
Aside from the pink part, I do really like it. It's kind of a, what'd you call it? Like a baby pink. It's not like your Pelican case. It's like the neon pink.
So one of our daughters was over last night for dinner, and she said it was a really cool color. So I think I'm on the right track. So,
and to just emphasize, because I don't know, this is a hard-sided clamshell suitcase, carry-on size, and it. And this is my big thing about hard-sided cases is that, you know, the suitcases, they never have room to put in that last-minute thing. There's no pockets on the outside, and this basically has a hard-sided expansion that's front. It has a front pocket that happens to be made for computers and it's specifically made for computers and stuff. It's very cool. I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, a professional presentation design agency. Find us online at tlccreative.com, vxpmeeting.com, and thepowerpointblog.com. Thanks so much for joining us.
And I'm Lori Collar from TLC Creative Services, and just ditto to all that Troy just said. And I'm peeking ahead at the topic list, and you guys are in for an awesome conversation next time with Troy, Sandy, and Nolan. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us for another great presentation conversation. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. Also through the website, contact the show hosts with episode suggestions, questions, or comments. We want other designers to join us, and you can help. Please leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services Incorporated, and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.